Thank you so, so much. I think if you leave the church here a bit, then you come, if you come back. But, you know, if you leave, you realize what you have. They always say you don't realize what you have until you have it anymore. Don't have it anymore. And I just want to say you guys are precious. I was thinking of what to say, and I started crying, so I thought I won't say that. But I just want to say you guys are really amazing. You don't know what you have in these two people, yeah? So honor them, follow them, and you will see Jesus. Okay. I really love the baby dedication this morning. It's like almost in with the message this morning. But I just want to say to all the parents here, and since it's a family service, that God is raising up people that will prepare the way for Him, for Jesus returning. And I love all the words this morning because it just confirmed that, didn't it? Our pastors in Durban, Marnus and Janet, one of their sons, Brendan, you can't fight with him about Jesus is coming back. He just has it in his heart. He just says it all the time, Jesus is coming back. And I love it. I love it. He has fights with his sister, but anyways, he wins, luckily. But I just want to tell you, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for a pure and a spotless bride, and I'm very excited about that. Okay, good. So this morning we're talking about the importance of sonship in being one. So for those of you that don't know, us as a church family, Shofar, maybe I should stand still. Am I fine? us as a church family, Shofar, the theme for this year is being one. Okay, so we always have a theme for the year and believing what God is directing us to do and where we should go and what we shouldn't do and all of that, and to strengthen us as a family and to be obedient to what God has called us to do. Now, the theme for this year is being one. Okay, so you can think in many things in life, whatever we do, it either builds up or it breaks down. Okay, we always have a choice in what builds up and what breaks down. And in being one of the things that we need to get as a church family is sonship. Okay, and so we're going to talk about sonship this morning. My flatmate, I did the sermon to her, and she's like, what's sonship? So she should start with, what is sonship? Okay, so sonship is the relationship between father and child. Okay, we don't say childship, I just think it doesn't sound good in English. But it's a daughter also. Okay, so when I speak about sonship this morning, it's about the daughters also. So it's about my child and my father relationship. Okay, good. Let me not talk too much. Let's get to the word. We can open at Luke 15. Simply love this story. You can follow it on there or open your Bibles. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate, and we're going to stop for there for a moment. This for me is such a beautiful, beautiful picture of a father and a son. this father, this guy just took everything he had and he went. In the first place, the father was so good that he actually gave it to him. We sometimes miss that. This father gave it to him, although he was waiting for his son's return. He was standing and looking, and he saw the son from far off running back, coming back. And when he saw the son coming back, he ran to him. Now, in those days, it wasn't a good thing for a man of his stature, whatever, what do you call it? Yeah, that one. It wasn't good for him to run. But he ran. He ran back to him, and he kissed him, and he says, "You're home." You know, it's such a beautiful picture. And this year, for the first time, I got that picture. We went to DUT, and we're having outreaches there, and we're telling people about Jesus. And I get to this one guy, and we're having this conversation about God. And he says to me, "But I've messed up. I don't know if I can go back to God." And as I'm standing there, I feel the Holy Spirit put this story in me. And I said to him, "But can I tell you a story quickly?" And I started telling him the story, and the both of us started crying because we just realized who this father is and had the privilege of praying with that guy as he returned to the Lord. Isn't that just precious? And that is God. He's always waiting for us to come back. That is an awesome picture of a father and a child, isn't it? Forgiveness. This guy didn't even repent yet. And the father was happy to see him. I mean, the father didn't even know why he returned. He just ran when he saw him. And that's what I love about our Father. By the way, if I'm talking like Father God and so on, this story is such a good picture of our Father, God, and us as his children. Okay, great. Let's go to the second part of the story. Meanwhile, the older brother, or the older son, was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a younger goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who had squandered your property with prostitutes came home, you killed the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." I think many times we read the story and we're like, how unfair, when we look at the bigger brother, the older brother. We're like, how unfair. I mean, you know, if you look at through his eyes at the story, you're like, "I've worked." He even said, "I slaved for you, Dad. I never disobeyed. I never did anything wrong. Yet, when this son of yours, you know, who messed up everything, who gave everything away, when he returns, you celebrate him. Hello, what about me? Don't you see me? Don't you see what I'm doing for you?" But what I like about the story is like it reveals something in our hearts. If we see the story like that, then we must realize there's something in my heart that I'm not getting in the story. There's something that God wants to show us through the story and why he told the story. He could have stopped with the younger brother, but he went on to the older brother. The thing about the story, when I look at this whole story and I ask myself, did the father do anything wrong in the story? When I look at the father and I concentrate on what the father did, was there any reason for me to doubt his love for both brothers? And I read through the story again and again and again, and I couldn't find anything that would point that the father didn't love both sons equally. In actual fact, when you read it, when the son didn't want to go in and celebrate with the other people, the younger brother, the father came and said, "I plead with you, come. Come celebrate with us." In actual fact, when he said, "But my son, I am always with you, and all that I have is yours," then we get a picture that this father loves both children. And when we look at the word, we actually see it. We see that God, you know, he doesn't love Matthew more than he loves me. He loves all of us. When he says in his word, he sent his son because he loved the world so much, he didn't say, just in brackets, but Matthew a little bit more. And, you know, but God says he loves us. He means it. When he said, "I sent my son for you, because I love you," it's because he mean it. He doesn't love anyone else more. And guys, we have to constantly tell each other, God loves you. You know, we do it to our children because we know they need to hear it. And so do we. I love telling the students that I get to work with now, God loves you. The other day, one of the students that was here in this church, she sent me a WhatsApp, and she said, "Merichan, I still listen to your sermons." I'm like, wow, okay. But then she added, she said, "I repeat the part where you say God loves you." And I was just like, whoa, but someone really hungry to hear that God loves me. You know, and there's people that's really hungry to hear that we have a God, a Father, a King who loves you. You know, he's almighty and he's big. And, you know, we cannot come close to see who God is. But we have to know that he loves us. Then why, guys, did this older brother struggle to see the love of the Father? Why did he struggle to see the love of the Father? Yeah, I was meditating on this and I was asking God, what are we missing? But the thing about this older brother, and I mean, there can be many reasons, but the thing that God highlighted to me is like, what did he believe of his father? You know, A.W. Tozer, and I think it's up on the screen there, yes, says that what I believe about God is the most important thing about me. Now, why is that? Because what I believe about God determines my actions. If I don't believe that God forgives me, it's going to be very hard for me to forgive someone else, isn't it? If I don't believe that God loves me unconditionally, it's going to be very hard for me to love someone unconditionally. You know, once I had a friend, and every time, you know, I just got hurt in this friendship, and I went to God, I said, "Lord, I can't do this anymore." Really? It's like this friend is just, you know, hurting me and so on. And God said to me, "Merichan, in how many times do you reject me and hurt me?" Oh, I was just like overwhelmed, and I realized God always loves me. You know, no matter what I do, no matter how I've messed up, no matter how I deny his name, no matter how I reject him, he always loves me. And in that moment, I knew, okay, Lord, I can love my friend. If this is how you demonstrate love to me, then this is how I can love this friend. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. So, guys, I want to ask you today, what do you believe about God? And not only do I want to ask you, what do you believe about God, but why do you believe that? Where did you get that belief that you have about God? Because in this world, the whole time we hear things about who God is, isn't it? In the media, in the newspaper, you know, at our friends, in our families, our parents, how they demonstrate things to us. So we think this is how God is. That is where we get our belief about who God is. Do you agree with me? You're very quiet this morning. We're used to then Durban people saying amen. No, I'm joking. I'm actually very quiet. Anyways. So today, just for you to ask, where do you get the belief that you have from God? And I truly believe for us to understand something about God's love for us, guys, we have to get to know God. You know, people can tell me things, say about Marika. Hello, Marika. They can tell me things about Marika, and I can read about it, and I can see her on TV, and you know, all that stuff. But if I don't get to know her, then I form my beliefs about her around what other people are saying. And sometimes we even do that in the church. We run to all different conferences and people and sermons and, you know, this book and that writer and all of that. But do we know God? Do we get what we believe about God from him or from other stuff? Okay, good. So the next point is that we need to get to know God. How do we do that? Very important question. Well, firstly, we have to decide that I want to. It's like that younger son. He had to decide that I'm going back. You know, what I love about God is that the God just saw him. The father just saw him there in the distance. And he started running. Yay! He's coming! I'm going to meet him. I'm going to get him. Yes, the word says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. But you know what? Our God is far more greater and better, gooder. There's not a gooder word. But it's better than what we can ever imagine. So we just come with a little step and God comes. Just a little step, guys. He just sees us returning and he runs for us. Isn't that true? So first we have to decide, God, I want to know you. Lord, I don't want to listen to what the world says. I don't want to listen to what people tell me. Father, but I actually want to get to know you. So when we decided that, what's the next step? Where do we learn about God? The Word. Yeah. And these days, guys, you know, I want to start crying. These days, I just realize this book is not just a book. It's a book that shows us who Jesus is. Go to the Gospels. Jesus is talking. He's moving. He's showing us who he is. Go to the Old Testament. It's all about why Jesus did what he did, why he said what he said. Where does it come from? Go to the other books. It's all about how to apply it. What Jesus said, what Jesus did. And you know what? In the church today, we don't read this book anymore. But we say we know God. God saying, no. No, I want to show you who I am. And I want to show you through my word, through Jesus Christ that came flesh. The word came flesh. The word made flesh. You know what we do with the word? We read it because we need instruction. How must I live? What must I do? You know, or we read it because we need a word for someone. Or we read it because we need to, you know, do small group tonight. Lord, I just need some cool thing that I can talk about tonight. And believe me, it's all cool. It's definitely all cool. If you get it from me, it's amazing. But guys, I want to challenge you. When you open the word and you read it, you say, Father, show me Jesus. I cannot open my Bible anymore without saying, Lord, show me Jesus. I want to see you. I want to see you for who you truly are. I don't want to listen to what the world say you are. I want to get to know you. I don't want to listen to people that most of the time don't even follow you, that's never even been in church, say about you, Father, I want to know you for who you are. I want to spend time with you. I want to see you. And you know, when I do that, I can't get past the first verses. Every time I'm overwhelmed by who God is. I read the same scriptures and I'm like, I've never seen it like that. Poor Isabelle and Anai and Esther has to hear all my scriptures. I'm like, guys, look at the scripture. What is God saying? Who is he? God is calling us back to say, Lord, I want to know you. I'm going to tell you guys, like I said, Jesus is coming back. And if we don't know the word, we're going to be deceived. We're not going to know. People are going to say stuff about this is Jesus or that is happening. We're not going to know because we don't know God. God is calling us back and he says, my children, I want you to know me. And the best part of all is I want you to know my love. I want you to know that as a father, I love you as my child. And you know what? God reveals this for us. In his word the whole time. When Jesus spoke in the Gospels to his disciples, Do you know which word he mostly used to describe God? Father. And that's the one that we struggle with the most. That God, Almighty, magnificent creator of heaven and earth, is my Father, and he loves me unconditionally. You know, guys, I only have an earthly father, but I know he loves me unconditionally. How much more does a heavenly father loves me unconditionally? No matter what I do, no matter what I am, and I'm focusing a lot on that part, so I hope you guys are hearing that this morning. Decide that you want to know God. The next step, get into the Word of God who reveals Jesus to us. What's another one? Resist the enemy.
Amen.
So, Matthew is waking up. Okay, so resist the enemy, guys. Why? Because the enemy is real, for those who didn't know. The enemy is real, and he will do anything to get you not to get God's love. Because he knows if you get the Father's love, you can do anything. And he will come, and he will tell you lies, and he will make you doubt who God is and his character, and that God is good all the time. Let's see what happened to, you know, Adam and Eve in the garden. They were there. One tree they couldn't eat of. Just for a moment, imagine, I don't think we can, about a Garden of Eden. It must be magnificent. Huh? I think we don't, that it must be beautiful. One tree you cannot eat from. But the enemy comes and he says, did God really say that? You know, bring that things about, is God really good? And then he says, but you will, you know, God knows that you're just going to be like him. And then Eve says, no, but God said we will die. Guys, when the enemy comes like that, and you're like, enemy, the Lord said, I will die, go. But we don't know this if we don't know God. What's the other thing? Jesus went into the desert, the wilderness, okay? And he was tempted by the enemy for 40 days, or he was in the wilderness for 40 days. How does the enemy come to talk to him? He says, if you are the Son of God. Whenever we hear words like that, we must immediately be like, neat, 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 neat. If you are the Son of God, you know, turn this rocks into bread or stone into bread. And I love how Jesus responded. How did he respond? With the Word. Because he knew God. He knew that God was his Savior, his Father, and he knew what he could say back to the enemy. I love it when we can stand up and say, no, 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 no. Let me just tell you quickly. I hear you that, you know, I'm in this place and it feels like everything is going wrong and you're telling me that surely God cannot be good. No, 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 enemy. Can I quickly tell you who my God is? Can I quickly remind you of what he's done for me? Can I quickly remind you of this and this and this? And I mean, don't speak to him long. Just say, go. Resist the enemy. Guys, be vigilant. Tonight I'll share a dream that I had, but we have to be vigilant. And no, 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 no. This is the truth. This is my God. He loves me. The next step, and we talked about it in the prayer and all of that also, is that this is very good news, as Leon has shared very much good news with us this morning. But God gave us the Holy Spirit. Earlier this year, I had a revelation that I don't know the Spirit. We were at intercession, and I saw this picture of a lot of food, and it's amazing food, and we go and get the food, and we use it. And God says, but where do you get this food? And I'm like, oh, okay, we get it at the meal table. And God says, I don't want you to take my gifts as takeaways and don't know my Spirit. I want you to sit down and get to know my Spirit.
Because when Jesus left, he said, I'm sending you my Holy Spirit. Why? He's a helper. He's much more than Jesus, guys. I was at Encounter One, I say to the people, but, you know, I love Jesus. And I always think, but I really, it would be amazing to be one of his disciples. You learn the whole time. You follow him wherever he goes. I mean, I just want to see how he eats something, you know. And God said, it's better for you that I go away because I sent you my spirit. Sonship. He reveals to us that we are children of God, the Father. And one of my favorite scriptures, Romans 5 verse 5 says that God or the Spirit reveals the love of God to us. So if you're struggling today, you're like, I don't even know how to get close to God. I don't even know how to take that step in, you know, wanting to get to know him. But I pray, Spirit, Holy Spirit, will you help me? I cannot do this. I don't even have the energy. Like the word we got that we feel weary. I don't know, even know how to fight. But Father, I thank you today that you sent your Spirit to us. That we can get to know you and that you make yourself known to us through your Spirit. Isn't that just incredible? You know, when you start to think about God, you're like, he thought of everything. He's above all. Now you're probably asking me now, what does this have to do with being one? It's got everything to do with being one. Because I don't know if you know it, but we are to others what we believe God is to us. And that sometimes is a bit scary. If I believe that God forgive me, then it's easier for me to forgive someone else, isn't it? If I believe that God loves me unconditionally, it's easier as I testify it for me to forgive, to love someone else. But for us to get that God said, as I have loved you, you can go love others. In other words, I need to know how God loves me. It's nogal, oh, now I'm going to Afrikaans, you see. It's very important for us to know God's love in being one. If we don't get that, we're not going to get how to love others. And guys, there's messed up people. Oh, not, that's totally wrong. Sorry, can we just edit that? There's people that's going to come into here, you know, that's broken. I've seen a little bit of it in Durban. Can I just share this testimony? That one Muslim guy got saved in our small group. How cool is that? God is going to send people to us. And if we don't get the love of God, it's going to be very difficult for us to love these people, to love each other. God wants us to get his love. But let's read John 15. This is one of my favorite scriptures. John 15, verse 12 to 13 says, John 15. Sorry, Banks. Is it there? Okay. John 15, verse 12 to 13 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. And that to me sums up being one. Because if you are going through something, then I'm going to be there for you because I love you. Doesn't matter how it affects me. And I know we're going to get to that place where, you know, when we see the cars pulling in, it's not going to be fancy, fancy, fancy cars and the one guy has to hike with a taxi, you know. Just to give you an idea, God has called us to being one that when my brother suffers, I see it and I'm like, yeah, you must just sort out his stuff. Instead, I'm like, how can I help you? How can I love you?
And I don't say give your car to him or anything like that.
Just say, God is getting us to a place where I'm willing to lay down my life for my brothers and sisters. But I won't be able to do that if I don't understand that Jesus has done it for me. And that's the only reason why I can live today, is because Jesus did it for me. That's the only reason why I can talk about it, because that is what Jesus did for me.
And how can I keep that from others? If I understand the love of Christ, then it's so much easier for me to give it to others. And it's a privilege, because our world is in desperate need of love. People are looking for God. And guys, we have it. We have it. We know the good news.
So let's go be one. Let's ask God for his love so that we can be the love to a broken world.
Show them the love to the broken world. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father God, what a privilege to know you. And to get to know you more, Lord, and to see, Father, that you are a good Father, like we sing that song. You're a good Father, and I am loved by you. And Father, I pray that that will just slowly and slowly more be a reality in our lives, where we get to see the love of the Father. That love that never fails, that love, Lord, that never stops, Father, but it's constant, Lord. And nothing, the word says, Lord, can separate us from your love. So we just thank you for your love this morning. And I pray, Lord, for us, for such a desire to know this love and to know the Father and to not keep away. So, Lord, I will come. My brokenness, the things that I've done wrong, it won't keep me away. But, Father, boldly I will come, because what you have done for me. Lord, we just praise you this morning. We just exalt you. We just glorify your name, Father. And we just acknowledge that we are really, truly nothing without you. And apart from you, Lord, there is no good thing. Just where you are, just allow God to. Well, you just speak to God. Just say to him, Father, this is where I'm at. This is what I believe about you. Father, will you reveal to me what is not you? Will you reveal to me, Lord, where I've got these things from, Lord? Will you open my heart, Lord, to receive? I so agree with that word yesterday. Ach, Nikki, I thought things should. We're having a leaders meeting yesterday, and I just saw this picture of walls around us. We build up so many walls. And God says, I wanna shake those walls. I wanna break them down so that you can see my love. And it's so you can receive it.
Father, we just thank you for your love in this place. We thank you that you love us so much, God, and we just this morning come and yield to what your Son has done on the cross, Lord. We yield to the finished work of the cross, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for the victory of Christ. And as your word says, that we're victorious in you, God. We are victorious and sons and daughters of the living God. And Father, this morning, I just want to ask, while every eye is closed, if you're here this morning and you just want to just renew that commitment to Christ, no matter how long you've been serving God.